This life is a journey, we walk by faith. And there will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Oh, anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, just say amen. Sometimes through the darkness, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. 'Cause greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Oh, anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and seen it time and time again, just say amen. Even in the valley of the shadows, when you feel alone in the unknown, just say amen, just say amen. Even when the storms are raging, standing though you're not forsaken, just say amen, just say amen. Anybody here? Tell me, is there anybody here? Come on and say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, come on and say amen. Oh, anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and seen it time and time again, just say amen, just say
chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Why don't you stand with me, please, and we'll read this portion of the scripture, the Bible. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your goodness, for the things that you teach us, for the opportunities that we have in Christ. And Lord, as we examine our new year, this first Sunday of 2019, and part two of what we started talking about last week, I pray it would be our desire to give you our best, to always choose your way, your path, to follow you, to have ears to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, as we look into your word today, teach us once again from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just as a reminder, we started off the service last week with this, and so here's another clip from Let's Make a Deal, 1969.
Very nice. And you know what show this is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the dating game, and I came to have a date. Listen, we're going to make some deals right now, and I tell you, we got some very great deals, too, because before we went on the air, everybody here on the trading floor traded for a little gift, right? You all have your little gifts? It's a little gift that could pay off in a very handsome way, because some of these items are more valuable than they seem, and don't play peeky, anybody, because if you play peeky and look inside before I come to you and make the deal, the whole deal's off. Now, for example, I'm going to take this young lady over here. You have here... Ah, very nice item. That's, Downy Flake waffles. Aren't they very nice? Jay, would you tell us something about these waffles, please?
Gladly. That's a box of Downy Flake frozen regular size waffles. 6 waffles in each box. Toast them in 60 seconds. They're tastefully yours from Downy Flake.
I can hardly wait to munch them. They look so good right on the cover. Now, do you think, Louise Damron, do you think that there could be something inside the Downy Flakes? Because I'll tell you right now, I've put 5 $100 bills inside at least one of the items on this trading floor today. Think you could be holding 500 bucks there?
Yes.
You do? Well, I'll tell you what. You may or may not, but I will let you trade your Downy Flake right now for what's behind the curtain Carol is showing us, or I'll give you a fast $200 in cash for that box right now. So what do you want to do? Do you want to take the curtain? Do you want the $200? Or do you want to hang on to the waffles hoping there's a $500 in there?
Take the curtain.
You're going to take the curtain.
Yeah.
Inside the waffles, I'm going to let you keep them. Nothing inside the waffles at all. $200 you could have had, but you've got something behind the curtain that could keep you and those waffles in butter for a long time to come. There it is, folks, a portable butter factory. Now, they tell me... Was that the cow saying moo, or is that you saying boo? they tell me that you'll have the freshest butter in town if that cow could give milk, but I don't think she can. She looks a little too old, and anyhow, she saw all those churners, and she turned green. But that's what you got, and what you're going to do with her is your problem, not mine. Thank you, honey.
I'll tell you, it's human nature. We are so tempted, even though we can have a known commodity, we have to know what we don't know. We have to try something that seems so enticing. And I can't think of a better show to illustrate to you and I what the choices you and I have. I don't know if you grew up in a home like I did, but there's a lot of sayings I was taught. And a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Have you ever heard that? And Let's Make a Deal, they were already told what they could have, but they just had to know what they didn't have. And isn't that human nature? We already know what we have. We know what we have in Christ, but Satan comes along and he says, boy, I've got something for you. And so we started talking on this topic last Sunday, and you will be given choices in the year 2019. It happens every year, every time. And you have opportunities to choose God's way, or Satan will come along and offer you other things. Deals. He is subtle. His offers will look enticing, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. I was reminded of it this week when I was reading an article from Fox News about a woman that had become involved in the adult industry at 18. Now at 31 years old, she's married and has a testimony of what the Lord has done for her. She encourages people to think about the future and not live for the moment. All she was concerned about when she was young or younger was what was going to make her happy right then. Instant gratification, not looking to the future. And thank God she had a godly grandfather who took her to church on Sunday, and it planted the seeds for her salvation down the road. And let me encourage you, sometimes it doesn't seem like what you and I, living for the Lord, it doesn't seem like we're accomplishing anything, but do not get discouraged. those seeds you're planting around those young people, those of you that work in junior church and you think these kids aren't even listening, they're not paying attention to me, that pastor's son will never sit still, and all of that stuff that goes on, do not be discouraged. You don't realize how important it is that we invest in people and share the gospel message, because there's one girl that her life was totally gone, and for you and I to look at it on face value, you would think she could not be reached, but she was. Thank God she's saved today and has a wonderful testimony. That stuff excites me, and I hope it does you as well. So obviously, Satan will come along and offer things, and you become in bondage, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Curtain number one from last week we talked about, Titus chapter 2 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." God's grace, say that with me. God's grace, you and I know it as unmerited favor, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Revelation, it's mentioned 100, the word grace is used 170 times in your King James Version Bible. The last time it is mentioned is in the last verse of the Bible. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be on you all, amen." The first time it was mentioned was in our text this morning. The first time grace is used is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." What was going on at that time is literally the world had stopped following the things of God. There was nobody. Noah was the last man standing, he and his family. Now, you and I think that these are in bad times, but it's not compared to what he experienced. God told Noah, you're going to have 120 years to get ready for what's going to happen. It wasn't saying that the average... People have come to me and said, I thought the Bible says that man's going to live to be 120. That's not what the text is saying. God is saying, I'm going to give man another 120 years to hear the gospel message, and at that time, time will be over. I'm going to send a flood, and it's going to wipe out the whole earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did Noah deserve that? No more than you and I did. But at least he was a man that had a heart for the things of God. God recognized that. And obviously, you and I, if we could follow our ancestry.com all the way back, we would find ourselves back to one of the boys of Noah in the flood, because obviously that's where every one of us came from, was the family that was left, was God's grace in the life of Noah. And God decided to spare his judgment from Noah and the family. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So we were talking about, let's make a deal. God offers a deal, and you can have curtain number one is God's grace. And obviously, if we chose God's grace, that means at some point in your life, you chose to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're here this morning, there was never a time where you trusted Christ and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You are sitting in condemnation, and God's wrath abides on you. You are in great jeopardy. But if you have chosen Christ, recognize that you are a sinner, and we all are. We're not picking on you. We're picking on us. We're all sinful. The reason why, right? Why do you think we're attracted to door number one? We got to try things. We got to see things. That's some of those things that we taste of, we have no business doing, but you know what? We do it. You never sinned. Flip Wilson, what was it? He said, the devil made me do it. Oh, Flip, the devil has no power to make you do anything. You choose to do those things. Every time Stan Griffin ever sinned in his life, it's not because somebody tricked me into it. I chose to do it, and I recognized I was willing to suffer the consequences of it, whatever they were. And usually, you'll find that sin's consequences are much worse than you ever imagined. But that's the way it is. Well, so what happens? God's grace does not give us what we deserve. If we trust him as our Savior, he gives us what we don't deserve, and that's forgiveness of sins and eternal life through him. And when that happens, we've chosen curtain number one. Now, with curtain number one, with God's grace, the Bible goes on to say in Titus chapter 2 that God's grace has appeared to all men, teaching us. Say that with me. Teaching us. We're all being educated. Whenever you turn on the TV, turn on the radio, whatever you're looking at, whatever that screen you are, we spend all our lives looking at screens in the year 2019. They're everywhere. Kids look at them, it doesn't matter what it is, but we're being educated by something. And I would encourage you in 2019, why not decide one of your New Year's resolutions could be, I want to be educated by the things of God. Spend 15 minutes a day in God's Word. It's all 15 minutes a day. That's not 50. Who doesn't have 15 minutes? Trust me. You can come up with 50. Just take 15 minutes a day, every day. Make up your mind you're going to be in God's Word, and God's Word will educate you, transform you. You spend 15 minutes a day in God's Word every day, you'll read through the Bible in a year. Now, that's a good deal. Now, sad to say, there's a lot of Christians that could honestly say, I have never read my Bible cover to cover. That's kind of sad, but it's true. I've never done a survey, but I'll bet you more than half Christians will say, oh, yeah, I've read my Bible. They've read it. But cover to cover, making a choice to read every word in God's Word, many Christians have never done that. But you couldn't just 15 minutes a day. That's choosing good education. But we're all being educated. Curtain number one, grace. Now, obviously, they always put a dollar value on let's make a deal. Curtain number one, what kind of price would you put on grace? There you go. Somebody said priceless. Correct. Thank you. You win something. I don't know what. I'll come up with it. Four down. All right? So, the first curtain, Monty's always given a price. No, this is priceless. Eternal life paid for by Jesus Christ. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no one that can answer that other than God Almighty, because he's the one that created you, made you, and he knows your value. And let me tell you something. You are priceless. And Christ gave his life to save you. So, I would say curtain number one, the value is priceless. Curtain number two, if you've chosen that, if we opened up the curtain, it would be education. Now the question is, who's teaching you? Who's educating you? And I'll tell you what, Caleb is finding out education's expensive. I have found education. I was so excited when I graduated from high school. I had no plans for furthering my education. I wanted that learning institution to be in my rearview mirror. I wanted to be done. And my thoughts were, thank God, my education days are over. I hated school. Still do. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. Thank you for the amen. All right? I don't get a lot of amen, so I'll take them wherever I can get them, all right? So I hated school. I still do. I hate education. But I found that some days I'm still being educated, and education's very expensive. Ever run into something where something went wrong and you realized you were learning a lesson? My wife teaches me one on a regular basis, you know? There's a lot of lessons to be learned in life, and education never stops. And yeah, we could probably put a price on it, but it's expensive. But God's Word teaches us some things. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly or seriously, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's a right way to live and there's a wrong way. In Sunday school, remember we used to sing that song, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, there's a way that seems the right way, but it's the wrong way, and it'll lead you far from God. Anybody remember that song at all? No, Mark does. He and I guess, were the only two that were singing that. I don't know. But obviously, there are a lot of opportunities. There's some right ways, and there's some wrong ways. The Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me tell you something. It is not just it frustrates me as a preacher of the gospel that when you're talking to people about heaven and going there, they're kind of looking at it like, well, I don't know if I'm going or not. Just like, you going to Florida this winter? Well, we might not. That's the value they put on where their eternity is hanging on, whether they're going to take that trip or this trip, or maybe we won't go. Folks, you're going somewhere. That's not an option. When you breathe your last breath, you're going somewhere. And if you don't know where you're going, then you're not going to heaven. Because heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. And if you're just hoping it'll all work out in the end, it won't. Isn't this exciting? But it won't. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. What's the right way that the world will teach you? Well, you got to be good, good, good. You got to work, work, work. You got to pay your bills. You got to keep your word. You do all those things. And in the scales of life, if I'm better than most people, then chances are I think the big guy up there will appreciate my effort and he'll let me in. That's worldly wisdom. And I'm telling you what, you can say, oh, who thinks that? Most people think that. That's the sadness of it. And that Bible says that end, the ways of a man, that will end up in death. Death in hell. And I'll tell you what, there is no coming back from that death. There's no second chance. There's no do-over. The Bible doesn't teach that. So there's some instruction going on. You and I are learning some things. And I hope that your desire in God's instruction is to teach us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Mark talked about it in his adult Sunday school class, how that God set some hedges and some guidelines, God's law. And if we live within those hedges, God blesses us. And if we try to step outside of those, God does not bless us. Folks, this is not rocket science. If you lived at 271 Griffin Road in Levant, there are four people living there now, two kids, a husband and a lovely wife. And if you are living in that confines, you're under the blessings of Stan. If you try to step outside of the confines of that house, then I make no promises on how that's going to go. Well, you know what? When you sign up for Jesus Christ, you are under the confines of God Almighty. And he says if you will live godly and righteously and soberly and seriously, doesn't mean we can't laugh or have a good time, but you know what? There's a way that God blesses and the way that he doesn't bless. And I'll tell you what, the world is making a great education on what God does not bless. And I won't enumerate all the things that we think are okay now, but I'm telling you, we are entering into a bizarro world. I was listening to Adrian Rogers preach, and Adrian Rogers is in heaven now, and I don't know when he was preaching the message that I was listening to, but he was talking about people, he talking about how bad society is now, and people won't keep their word anymore or do anything, and I'm thinking, Adrian, if you were alive today, would you know, would you think, would you ever believe that just because you're anatomically made as a man, that doesn't mean you are anymore? That means that if you feel like you're a woman, you can be a woman. You don't have to change anything. You just have to say so. Adrian, would you believe that? Well, that's where we're at today. We're giving out driver's licenses now that you don't even have to say you're a male or a female. You can just say you're X. Well, I got news for you. God created them male and female. It says so in God's word. And when we get rid of this instruction right here, God's word, we are in a horrible mess. And it's not just keeping your word. We don't even know what's up and down anymore. I'll tell you what. My last day that I live, I'll still know the difference between a man and a woman. And so will you. And do not apologize that you know the difference. We're so afraid now. I know a lady that's dying of cancer. I'm getting sidetracked, but I'm throwing all this stuff in. And she said to me, she said, one thing cancer's done for me, Stan, is it's killed my filter. She said, I recognize I don't have a lot of time left anymore, and I'm not being careful about what I say. You know what, Christian? I don't know how much time we have left anymore. And I think it's time we stopped being careful about what we say, because we know right and wrong. We know how things are, and God can't bless a country, a society, a nation that is just playing tiddlywinks with whatever they're doing, laughing in his face, saying he's not there, and then when trouble comes, they wonder why he isn't there, and all of the oxymorons that go on in society. Let me tell you something, Christian. I don't know how much time we have, but we need to be saying the way that it is. Because there's some instruction going on. And the instruction right now, you can hear the hiss of the snake in the background as they're laughing at the things of God. Teaching us. So curtain number one is God's grace. Curtain number two is that it teaches us some things. And we are certainly being taught. Be careful what you're watching, what you're reading. Emily and I, when we go to bed at night, there's a TV in our bedroom. And generally, we will watch some things. And sometimes, well, nowadays, you can binge watch TV. Did you ever notice that? You can get into a show, and you can just watch every episode of it. Well, fight that. I'll just tell you, fight that. But I have noticed that when you start watching a show, it does something to your psyche. If you're watching a lot of it, it can start changing the way you're thinking about things. We've been in two or three shows in the past. You get into second, third episode of it, and I'll say to her, you know, we're done with this. I don't like how I'm looking at things. I don't like this. This isn't right. And because we're being educated. Be careful what you allow yourself to be educated with. And then this is where I ran out of time last week. And this is where I want us to go. And if you have your Bible with me, we're in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at some verses. There's a great struggle that goes on. I want you to know that if you are a Christian this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. There was a time in your life where you prayed and you asked Him to come into your heart and life. Most of us are in that case this morning. Most of us are like that. I won't ask for hands, but I'll raise mine. Do you ever struggle with choices? You're with me. All right, you raised your hand. I'm telling you, I'm the pastor of the largest Baptist church in Exeter, Maine. I want you to know I am somebody. I have no trouble with anything because I'm a man of God. I don't know, people look at me differently than they should because I'm just like you are. And I'll tell you what, there are times where I struggle with my choices. And I want you to know that struggle has always been there. Satan comes along and he's subtle, he's a master, and he'll say to William, you're the only one that thinks like that. Nobody else struggles like you do. Do not tell a soul. They'll see you for who you are and they'll think, how pathetic could you be? Has Satan ever told you that? He has me. And only to find out, the Bible says all things are common. What you're struggling with, he's struggling with. We all struggle with pretty much the same things. Ladies, who knows what you struggle with? You know? But the reality of it is nobody's alone in this. Now let's take a look in Genesis chapter 4. One of the first struggles that ever happened in human history is in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Bible says, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What had happened in Genesis chapter 4 is that the sacrifice needed to be brought. And Cain brought his sacrifice, all of the works that he had done or his own, out of his garden, a bloodless sacrifice, vegetables, stuff. Abel had brought a blood sacrifice like they were told to do to make things right with God. The blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Abel comes to the Lord, and he's got his blood sacrifice. Cain comes to the Lord, and he's got all his own works. And of course, God's going to love me. I'm a good person. It's called pride. And if God doesn't want me the way I am, that's God's problem. Well, no, God doesn't have a problem. You got a problem. And so there was that animosity going on that Cain had brought the wrong sacrifice. The Bible says Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's was not. Cain was mad. Who are they? What do you mean? Well, as a pastor of a church, I've run into those people that they think it ought to be their way. And who are you to tell me differently? God and I have an understanding. Yeah, well, God understands you all right. That's no problem. Problem is you don't understand God. And when it comes to the things of the cross and salvation, Jesus said there's only one way, and that's through Christ, and there has to be the shedding of blood. Christ shed blood that last time, once for all, so that you and I could be redeemed. Back in the Old Testament, though, they had to shed blood on a regular basis because Christ hadn't finished the work. So here we are. And Cain is mad, and I like how the Living Bible says it. Here's the translation of Genesis 4, 6-7, or the paraphrase. Why are you angry, the Lord asks him. Why is your face so dark with rage? It can be bright with joy if you will do what you should. But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you, but you can conquer it. Isn't that interesting? How the paraphrase of the Living Bible says, sin's trying to destroy you. And I'll tell you what, that battle is still going on. And Cain couldn't, he was just so ticked off that things weren't going his way. I remember as a young person, just having a fuse that was this short, always mad, always ugly. Why isn't things going my way? And fighting, angry. I'll tell you what, there's no way to be. So the Bible says that, obviously, they went on, and Cain rose up, and he killed his brother Abel. But that did not stop the struggle. And you can lash out, and you can get angry, and you can get mad at God, but that won't stop the struggle. The only way that struggle will stop is when you submit to what it is that God wants you to do in life. And I would highly encourage you to make that one of your New Year's goals. So we have God's grace. We have God's instruction. And then finally, we have God's promise. Now, I like this, but God's promises, I'm going to say this and you're going to repeat it after me. God's promises are conditional, okay? God's promises are conditional. And here we go now. We've been in Genesis. Go with me, and we'll finish up in Deuteronomy. God is giving Moses. Deuteronomy means the second law or the second giving. All that was they were re-preaching again what the Israelites had been told. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want to show you some verses. This won't take long, but here we are. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll get through this very quickly. And it shall come to pass if, it shall come to pass in verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And verse number 2 says, and these blessings. Verse number 3 says, blessed shalt thou be. Verse number 4 says, blessed shall be. Verse number 5 says, blessed shall be. Number 6 says, blessed shalt thou be. Verse number 8, thou shalt command, and the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee. If you do this, God says, I'm going to do this. Blessing, 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 blessing. Go on further. In verse, now it goes bad in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it's still in the same chapter. Verse 16, what's the first word? Talk to me. Cursed. Oh, we've gone from blessing now to a curse. Verse 16, cursed. Verse 17, cursed. Verse 18, cursed. Verse 19, cursed. Verse 19, cursed. And then it goes on through. It talks about pestilence and smiting and consumption and inflammation, extreme burning and sword and mildew. Heaven won't hear your prayers. Just one thing after another, after another, after another. Because if you follow the Lord, God's going to bless you. And if you don't follow the Lord, all hell's going to break loose. And you know what? In the year 2018, coming into the year 2019, I have found those rules still to be true. Now, I'm not saying, boy, you follow the Lord, nothing bad's going to happen. It's not like that. But I'll tell you what, if you don't follow the Lord, mark it down, bad things will happen. And when they do happen, you'll have no friend to turn to. That's the worst part. But on the other hand, if you follow the Lord, now listen. Let's just take a survey. We're out of time. Let's just take a survey. Stan, my life has gone exactly how I thought it would. Raise your hand. I'm the only one raising my hand. Well, my life hadn't gone like I thought it would. Neither is yours. Why is that? It's called life. But I'll tell you what I have found. I found when my life didn't go like I thought it would, God was faithful. I love him. He's been so good to me. I can't begin to tell you the joy that I've had in living for Jesus Christ, and not so much living for him, but also living with him, the presence of Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit being there with you. Man, I can't imagine life without him. And there's so many ways we could talk about that, but we're out of time. But here's the last verse I'll give you. Deuteronomy 30, 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thy and thy seed may live. Choose life. What's life? Well, God is life. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's really saying in New Testament theology, choose Jesus. Choose living for him. We're done with this topic. This is the last. There was just two messages on it last week and this week. And now I'm to the point where I don't know how to say it, and I would not be afraid to not to beg. But whatever I can do to convince you, this year, why not just decide this year, I'm going to be sold out for God Almighty. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to take Titus 2:15. I'm going to live soberly, righteously. I'm just going to see what God will do in my life. In 1994, we started this church. I says to Al, I says, I'll give God 5 years. Let's just see what God will do. And here we are, 25 years later. The clock was broke or the timer quit or something. I don't know, but I didn't know enough to stop. But I'll tell you this. I believe, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that God is good. I believe that if you tell the Lord, Lord, in the year 2019, I'm just going to see what you will do if I serve you. God's already made his promises. What he needs now is a promise from you that you're going to follow him. And if you, I'm just asking you, would you consider? Why not just say, you know what, Stan, I can do this. In 2019, I'm going to do the things of the Lord. And man, oh man, you wait until the year ends. Now Satan will test you. He will sift you. He'll come after you. He doesn't want to see that happen. And you can just tell him, drop dead, Satan. I'm following the Lord this year. I'm going to see what God will do. And if you do that, oh man, I promise you upon the authority of the Word of God that I doubt your ship will come in, as the world says, but I'll tell you this, it'll be the most satisfying year you have ever lived. Heavenly Father, it starts with, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then we let you teach us the things that we need to know. And Lord, a new year is always a great time for a fresh start, a new look. 2018 is behind us. And Lord, 2018 was a good year for the Cornerstone Baptist Church. You blessed us. Folks were saved. Marriages were saved. Lives were surrendered to you. But 2018 is behind us. Now we're looking at 2019. And what a wonderful thing it would be if Christians this morning would say, Lord, 2019 is yours, lock, stock, and barrel. You say it, I'm doing it. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to shut off the TV if it's something I should not see. I'm going to choose the things that will feed me correctly, righteously, soberly. Lord, those are words that the world doesn't even understand anymore, but you do, and we do. And I pray that at the end of this year, if we're still here, if you've not come back, and if you've given us another year to live and serve you, I pray that 2019 would be the most satisfying year that we've ever had in living for God Almighty. Lord, we'll open the altar. Folks will have a chance to respond. I pray that every person has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And if they are saved, I pray that every person would be willing to say, Lord, 2019 is yours. I give it to you. I will live for you. I will choose you. I choose life. Bless the invitation, please. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.